The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
You know, just when I think that we're going to be comfortable with everything, being back together, this is now the third show in a row. What do?
Change everything up.
I just throw a big wrench, big monkey wrench in the works. And here we are with a whole new setup. Now, hopefully, those of you at home or in your cars or wherever you are, you're not going to notice any difference at all. It's going to sound like any other Forcecast that you might hear. Well, not any other Forcecast, because we're joined with or by... I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. Dan Curto. Dan, can you hear us?
Danny. I can.
All right. Welcome to the Forcecast, bud.
Hey, guys.
This is kind of a new thing for us. We've got a few additions to the Forcecast arsenal here in the Forcecast studios, and Pete's having some technical problems.
Technical difficulties.
It's not anything I've done, I hope. Oh, he didn't plug his computer in.
That's how it goes here at the Forcecast Studios.
Oh,
wow! Usually it's me.
So did you lose power then?
Yeah.
Oh, so he doesn't know what's going on. Well, anyway, we'll stall for a few seconds and welcome everybody out there to the Forcecast. This week's episode for August 3rd, 2007. And as I was saying, hopefully, you know, those of you listening aren't going to notice anything different. But we've got a few new toys to play with, and we're able to pretty seamlessly integrate other people into the show, and we wanted Dan and Jay to be among the first, the guinea pigs, so to speak. Dan, fresh from his trip to from San Diego for Comic-Con, and it looks like Jay's here, but he hasn't dialed in yet, so hopefully he'll be dialing in any time. Dan, welcome back. Well, welcome
Thank
home,
you.
At least.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week.
Well, I wanted to remind the folks, if you want to be a part of the show, you can do so. You can give us a call at 330-871-4TFN, leave us a voicemail, or you can Skype us at username Forcecast, or send us an email, podcast@theforce.net. And as you know, I mean, when you send an email to podcast@theforce.net, it's not just Pete and I that read them. Dan reads them, Jay reads them, Dustin reads them, Jimmy reads them. So chances are, whatever your question is, somebody's going to get to it and somebody's going to answer it. So Dan's sort of the go-to guy when it comes to the toys and collectibles.
You think?
And that rightly so.
If I can.
But we wanted to just get some quick announcements out of the way. First of all, I was lucky enough to have been asked, and a couple weeks ago now, I was a panelist on The Force Among Us Live, which is a podcast hosted by Jeff Roney. Great guy, great Star Wars fan. Has his own fantastic podcast, Roney's Own, hosted over at TalkShoe.com. And you'll be hearing a little more about TalkShoe here at the Forcecast in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Jeff's the host, and it's a kind of a mini-series of 8 episodes. The second episode is coming up this Sunday. So as you're listening to the show, it'll be this Sunday live at TalkShoe.com. All you have to do is just go over to TalkShoe.com, register, sign up, and it's very self-explanatory how to be part of the show. We'd like to have you there. 1:00 Eastern Standard Time, and you can participate. You can ask questions. You can chat while the show's going on, listen live. It's going to be cool. So I'm going to be co-hosting with Jeff. And Dan, you actually got to introduce Chris and Courtney, right, over at Celebration Europe.
That's right. Yeah, we met the night before at one of the bars, and Chris asked me if I would introduce them, sort of continue the tradition of the Forcecast introducing them at the celebration. So that was kind of cool.
Well, that's great. They're good people. And Pete, you just saw the documentary. You just watched it.
I have.
Again, being a powerful and influential member of the Star Wars media, you're privy to these kinds of things.
What actually, riding on the coattails of the powerful and influential part of the Star Wars media, that being you.
Yeah, right.
I did get a chance to watch your preview copy, and because I couldn't wait for my own copy that I've ordered to come in the mail. I was like, I have to see this. So I did get a chance to see it, and I was absolutely blown away.
It's so good. And
and I will tell you that anybody that went to the panel at Celebration 4, or I'm sure Celebration Europe, or anywhere else that they've been, the footage that they show you doesn't even do the film justice enough. I mean, the footage is great, but it doesn't even compare to what the actual film does to pull everything in. It's absolutely amazing. I was just happy to be a part of it. And we'll talk more about that later, but you know, definitely if you're interested at all, tune into the Force Among Us Live, because they have two great hosts that are going to be working on it.
Well, this week we're going to be covering mainly the Norway shoot, so it should be very interesting. Of course, Chris following in the footsteps of the great Irvin Kershner, and going out there and shooting the terrain. And what's really cool is they were very specific and where they were shooting so that they could recreate some of the, you know, iconic imagery from Empire. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you could say, oh, well, it's just white snow. It's more than that. I mean, it's the formations. You know you're there. You know you're there. So, you know, I used to play Hoth in my backyard when I was a kid. You know, it's not quite the same. So you definitely know you're there. So please join us. Again, that's this Sunday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the live Forcecast show, or excuse me, live Force Among Us show at talkshoe.com. The Force.net would like to know if you ever met somebody special through TFN. Dan, have you ever met anyone special through TFN?
Oh, just you guys.
I don't know if we count, but yeah, over at the Force.net, they're just curious. They'd like to know if you met a special friend or a girlfriend or what have you. So send a wedding photo or an engagement photo so we can see how many happy families were created with the help of the Force.net. I was trying to think. I mean, I've met, of course, like Dan said, I met Dan, I met Jay and Dustin through TFN. And then, of course, through this show, we met Jimmy and, Mick.
And all of our great, Mick and John and Josh and all the guys out there that, you know, email us regularly and Clint and, Nathan. And
I haven't married any of them, so I think that's kind of what they're getting at.
Dan Franco out in Spain, and, of course, all the Art of Rob McQuarrie guys. I mean, my list would be huge.
Yeah, maybe we should send some.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah. Aren't they? I just talked to them this evening. They're great. I love them.
Well, maybe we should send a picture of Dan Curto in. Like the picture of all of us with Dan, but
there's got to be some photos from late night at 501st room out at Celebration 4 where we all look completely ridiculous that we have to send in.
So if you've met that special, what's that,
those
Dan?
Pictures are under lock and key.
No one's allowed to see those.
Well, if you've met that special someone,
I love you.
I know.
Then send an email to contact2@theforce.net. And, you know, a few weeks ago longer than that, it's been a while since we've mentioned dig.com. I mean, we were kind of hitting that up a lot, saying, if you listen to our show, go over to dig.com and dig us. And it finally got to the point where it's like, you know what? We're never going to get in their top 10.
It's hard to cut through the treagle with them, you know?
Right. It definitely is. I mean, we're never going to be, you know, what Twit is or what Dig Nation is, and that's okay. I mean, that's fine with me. I'm happy doing our little humble show here. But our listener, Jedi Schwa, our good friend, was not content with us just kind of resting on our laurels, and he wanted to make sure that those of you that are so inclined can jump onto dig.com and vote for the Forcecast. And here is Jedi Schwa.
Hello, Forcecast fans. This is Jedi Schwa. I'm here as a devoted listener of the Forcecast to remind you other devoted listeners to get out there in cyberspace and vote for our favorite show on the net, the Forcecast. So get on to dig.com and dig the show. Right now, last week's show has 3 votes. That's it. 3 votes. And the show overall only has 70 votes. Did you know that the show Heroes has 198 votes on their podcast? And the ever-powerful Muggle Cast has 488. Even the official Lost TV series has 621. And did you know that the news story, Why Shower Curtains Move Toward the Water, has 811? We all know that the Forcecast deserves to have more than that. Well, here's how it works. Go to dig.com and register. It's free and it takes like 2 minutes. Then, find the Forcecast. You can search for Forcecast on Dig, 2 words with a hyphen. Or, if you're on the forums, go to the Dig thread and click the link that we listeners have posted there. Then vote. Quick, easy, helpful for the guys. More exposure means more listeners, more surprises, more interviews, and who knows what else. You can dig the whole podcast or just individual episodes. And while you're out there, why not go to Podcast Alley and vote for them there, too, and iTunes and leave some positive feedback. Let them know how much we love the show. Sure, Harry Potter's a great story, but we got 30 years of fandom to show off. So come on, in the time it takes me to complain that I can't find a Macquarie figure at Target, I could have voted. Let's support our show and our great community. And remember to tell your friends about the Forcecast.
Celebrate the Lost!
That was, all right. Well, absolutely thanks amazing. to Jedi Schwa for that. I actually think we've got both of our guests here. I think we've got Jovial Jay Shepherd on the line. Jay, are you there?
Hey, hi, guys.
Hey, good to have you.
Wow, this is totally bizarre.
Well, no, this is I'm really excited about this. This is the first time that we've ever been able to seamlessly integrate you all into the show. I mean, again, folks that are listening to this, they don't really notice anything too different, I don't think. But behind the scenes, it's just so much easier and so much nicer. So welcome to the show, Jay.
Thanks very much. This is this is great to be able to hear all the little bumpers and Jedi Schwa's little voicemail and everything like that. So I'm excited to see how this is going to go and how it's going to sound when we put it out.
Yeah, so am I. Very much so. Let's see. We got. You know what? We've got some indie news here. Hold on 1 second. Well, I, for one, am glad that we have Dan Curto and Jay Shepherd with us to talk.
We got lots of questions.
Lots of questions. And we'll start off with probably the biggest story that came out of Comic-Con, the confirmation that we're going to see the return of Marion Ravenwood in Indy 4, better known as actress Karen Allen. She will be reprising her role. And I don't know about you fellas, but Pete pointed out that she looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, she still has it.
I didn't see it, so.
Well, I will tell you that the years have not been nearly as unkind to her as some of our other favorites.
That's true. That's to put it very mildly and kindly, Pete. Jay, what do you think? Karen Allen looking good these days? Jay Shepherd.
Might have lost him.
Oh, did we lose Jay?
Did we mute him?
Oh, no, he just said back in a minute. Okay, all right.
Oh, nice.
You see how he is?
Nice.
He's ruining this perfect show. So, Dan, you didn't see the indie panel then at Comic-Con?
No. They did a little bit of an indie announcement during the Star Wars 30 Years with Steve Sansweet presentation, which was really kind of cool. I mean, if you're thinking, you know, Indiana Jones, okay, you know, Harrison Ford's getting kind of old. You know, I don't know if this is going to be any good. Let me tell you something. You see Harrison Ford walking around with the hat and the jacket and the whip in the jungle, and you get goosebumps.
Well,
the whole crowd just cheered.
Well, we've actually, since you weren't there, Dan, we actually have, We have a couple of clips of the press conference at Comic-Con. I mean, they weren't there personally, but I think they were there via tape. Or I don't. Do you know if it was live? The call in from Harrison Ford and Spielberg, was that live or was that just a pre-recorded thing?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, here it is. We're going to start with, I believe this is Karen Allen talking about being back with Indy. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen,
take my hand.
Yeah. Marianne Ravenwood. Thank you.
Hey, Comic-Con. It's great to be here on the set of this next Indiana Jones adventure, and great to be back in the boots of Marion Ravenwood, and I'm just thrilled to be working with Steven and Harrison and Shia and Ray. There they are, back there. So Comic-Con is getting the first peek at us all together as a
family.
Yes, as a reborn family. A little older, a lot wiser,
yeah.
A little richer. But we're really happy to be here, and like I said before, this is all for all of you.
A little richer. That's again to an understatement.
Understatement.
I think we got Jay back. Jay, you there? Hello, Jay.
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right, good. And Dan, you're with us still?
Yeah. No, okay. That was cool. That's the first time I've heard that. So.
Yeah, well, we've got more. This is actually Steven Spielberg talking. So it sounds to me from the clips, and Jay, maybe you can shed a little light on this if you were following Comic-Con. This was apparently something they did via satellite, or they had some sort of hookup. I mean, they weren't there in person.
The Comic-Con news, there was just so much that came out. I was following some of the Indiana Jones news and some of the Star Wars news, so unfortunately I don't know how they had this, but... Yeah, I don't think they were there. I think it was either pre-recorded or it was done by satellite, yeah.
Okay. Well, here's a clip of Steven Spielberg addressing the folks at Comic-Con. Here we go.
I'm just extraordinarily pleased to be able to tell you that after 18 years, we actually have completed 25 days of shooting. I never thought this day would come where I can actually be able to sit here and say, we're finally making another Indiana Jones movie. But it's thrilling. And we're having a great time. And, you know, for the last 10 or 12 or 13 years, I've made a lot of different kinds of movies, many of them films that I really passionately needed to make sort of for myself. But this picture, I promise you, I'm making for you guys and girls. This is really all for you and for all the fans of the series.
That's definitely good to hear.
That's great news.
You know, I sometimes wonder... And I don't know what you guys think. If maybe Spielberg is savvy enough to dodge some of the mistakes that George made with the prequels, because it's a big challenge to kind of go back in time, turn back the clock, and sort of recreate the magic. You know, you hear that expression about lightning in a bottle in these phenomenal films like Indy and Star Wars and other franchises I won't mention, where you get the right chemistry, the right actor, the right character. And then you go back to sort of recapture that, and it's tough. But you know, do you guys think that there are some lessons to be learned from the prequels?
Well, I mean, this is a different mold than the prequels, because he's not trying to go back and do Indiana Jones stories before Temple of Doom, you know, when Indy was younger or anything like that. It's just going back and doing another story and trying to make Harrison Ford, you know, his current age. I think Spielberg can pull it off. Just look at his track record of his films recently. I mean, he does a very good job. He pays attention to those people around him. And I'm sure he was looking at Lucas's prequels and making some notes about, you know, going back to the well, you know, one more time. For the franchise, and hopefully, you know, they've passed on however many scripts. You know, this has been talked about for, what, like 6 years now?
Yeah, at least. I mean, it's something that I don't think they entered into lightly. Dan, you were actually there at Comic-Con. Was there a general buzz? I mean, you were describing the enthusiasm of the folks at the Sand Suite Star Wars at 30 panel. But I mean, so you're saying that there definitely is a lot of momentum behind this?
Oh yeah, there's a ton of support. A lot of the same companies that are licensees for Star Wars, not surprisingly, are also going to be doing a lot of Indiana Jones products as well. And we got a little bit of a sneak peek at some of those. So,
well, we're going
to
be talking about.
Come to find out, a lot of fans in the licensee companies as well.
Well, that's good. It seems like that there's a crossover. There's definitely a crossover of fandom. We've got one more clip, and then Dan and Jay, we're going to talk about some of that merchandise that's going to be coming out for Indy. We got a clip here of Harrison Ford addressing the folks at Comic-Con. Ah, Harrison, where were you a month ago? Here we go.
Indiana Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
And I'm glad to be back. Hello, Comic-Con. Thanks for joining us today. It is it's a great pleasure to be back with Steven. Back in the
sweaty clothes.
In the sweaty, dirty clothes that Indy always wears. And glad to be making a dynamite movie.
Okay, there you have it, from Harrison Ford himself, a dynamite movie. And well,
dynamite.
Yeah. Dynamite. So we're looking forward to it. Now, like I said, there've been a lot of announcements, particularly at Comic-Con, about what this means for collectors. And first, to get things started, Jay, I know that Dark Horse is kind of relaunching its Indiana Jones lineup.
Yeah,
some details there. Yeah,
I was really excited. I get the press releases from them, and there were a ton of press releases, obviously, from Dark Horse at Comic-Con. I mean, it's about comic books. They've got a whole bunch of other series coming online. They're actually reprinting like creepy and eerie comics from the 50s. But the first one that came through, it just said live from Comic-Con. So as I'm reading through it, well, yeah, they're talking about the Indiana Jones comics that Dark Horse was publishing back in the mid 90s. Once they got the Star Wars franchise on, they went to Lucasfilm and I guess they had asked, can they do the Indiana Jones comics as well? And they produced about 8 or 9 miniseries and one-shots, I guess, starting with Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. Starting next February of 08, they're going to take their current omnibus program, which is very popular with the Star Wars line, and it's also on, it's reprinting Star Wars comics chronologically at about, I don't know, they're probably about 14 to 16 comics per omnibus. It's a little smaller than the trade paperback in size, but at least as thick as a trade paperback, if not thicker, and reprints them all in color. And they're going to be doing two omnibuses of the Dark Horse Indiana Jones comics, putting those in a collection, which those, I don't even know if those ever saw trade paperback publication when they initially came out. So that's great. Then what they're going to do is come April or May, around the time of the movie, they're going to be doing a release of the Indiana Jones Adventures, which is going to be a smaller digest-sized comic, very much like Clone Wars Adventures, which is kind of a cartoony digest comic. It's got 3 to 4 stories per issue, and it's geared towards slightly younger readers, but older readers will get a lot out of that. So they're doing that for Indiana Jones. And then the Omnibus program is going to continue reprinting the Marvel comic series, The Further Adventures of Indiana Jones, which I believe was a 43-issue comic series from the late 80s. No word if they're going to be including the Raiders, Temple of Doom, and Last Crusade adaptations, but I would really hope that they do, because that would mean that all of the Marvel Indiana Jones stuff is complete. They're going to be doing the fourth movie adaptation in May as well, and supposedly they're going to be doing more, you know, Adventures of Indiana Jones back at Dark Horse. So they're really firing up the merchandise machine on this franchise as well.
Yeah, the release that I show here says that the comics adaptation will be released simultaneously with the film, obviously, and then followed immediately by an all-new Indiana Jones comic series. So, of course, we don't know what the timeline is for that, if it's going to pick up right after the film or if it's going to fill in some gaps or maybe even do all of the above and kind of skip all around. We don't know, right?
Yeah, I'd hope it would do some of the historical stuff, you know, like show us a little more of Indy's life, because obviously with questions that are being raised by spoilers that we're hearing for the film right now. It'd be really interesting to see them kind of go back and delve into some more of the backstory that is going to be behind this film, I think.
Now, Jay, are we hearing anything from Del Rey or any of the other Star Wars publishers getting in on the indie action?
No, I haven't heard anything else. Del Rey is the publisher of the previous Indiana Jones books. Actually, it was Ballantine Books at the time, but
right.
Ballantine, Del Rey, you know, all the same. I would imagine that there will be a tie-in novelization as well, and who knows, they may start a new line of Indiana Jones books. I don't recall if there were ever any non-movie tie-in books, a la Splinter the Mind's Eye or anything like that, for the indie franchise. But I do know they did a novelization for each of the last three films.
Might be fun to get a novel that kind of bridges the gap between Last Crusade and this one.
But, exactly.
And you know, kind of following that Star Wars novel, using the comics and the books to kind of bridge the gaps between the stories, you know, when you've got a timeline that evolves over several generations, you know, you need to fill in a little bit, and that could be a great way to really fill in some of the gaps and close down the story a little bit.
Well, I think they're going to be testing the waters. I mean, they don't know how if this can turn into the merchandising juggernaut that is Star Wars. But the thing that has me most excited are the action figures. Like the Star Wars figures, I have fond memories of playing with my Well of Souls playset.
Yes.
And my Map Room playset and all that stuff. And Dan, you were there firsthand to see these figures in the plastic. What are your thoughts?
Hasbro did it right. They did a teaser on the preview night, so they had this big, you know, Aztec-looking temple underneath a glass case, and you're all kind of looking at it, and you're thinking, well, what's going to be in here? Obviously, you know, there's a big Ark of the Covenant display you can get your picture taken next to. We were all kind of excited to see that. So, you know, the buzz was already building days before the official announcements. And then when they did finally announce it, oh, boy, everybody went nuts. However, they kind of were running out of time, so they were quickly going through all the Star Wars news. So, like, oh, yeah, we got new stuff coming. We got to get through this quick, though, because we want to make sure we hit indie.
Okay, so the actual unveiling...
Go back.
So the actual unveiling, then, was at the panel, and then the figure showed up later in the display case in the showroom?
Correct. Yeah, okay. Everybody, we started hearing more, because what they're doing for Indiana Jones, they're doing... Well, they announced two different scales, more. They announced the Galactic Hero scale. Okay, so, you know, the little, called Adventure Heroes.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. The little cute two-pack guys. And the ones that they showed were only from Raiders of the Lost Ark. They're going to be doing all movies.
Yeah, I noticed it was Raiders, yeah. But you say they're going to do all of them.
Right, they will be doing all the classic films, plus Indiana Jones 4. But so far, they're just showing from Raiders of the Lost Ark. So what they showed was a few of the Adventure Heroes and a few of the figures in the 3¾-inch line, which was really, really cool. However, they also, at the end of the presentation at their panel, when they revealed the figures themselves, somebody pointed out that one of those figures actually was from The Last Crusade. Because what they did was they're included with a... accessory that's a little bit bigger, sort of like, Marion comes with the headpiece to the staff of Ra, Indiana Jones comes with the Jovito's idol, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Well, the one that they showed in the booth comes with that stone tablet that he did the etching on, do you recall? I can't remember the exact name.
The Grail tablet?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. So, I mean,
we didn't even notice that at first until we went back and you know, looked again. We're like, hey, wait, check that out.
But it's just the accessory, not the figure. These figures are all from Raiders.
Well, the figure itself is just Indy without his jacket. Right?
Oh, okay. That's the figure that it comes with then.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Of course, what was on display might just be things they threw up there just to show something off. But what was really neat is that if you look at the pictures from both, they had different figures on display than what was in the presentation. So we got a little bit more of a peek.
I did notice that. You've got Indy without the jacket shown in the display case, and then in the PowerPoint, you got Indy with a jacket.
Right.
Dan, I got to ask. I got to ask you my one fanboy question, though. My one kind of nitpicky thing. I noticed that Indy's legs seem to be pre-posed, and Pete's laughing already because he heard me complaining about this before we started
right,
the show.
Right.
But they're pre-posed. If you, that seems very an odd play for Hasbro, who really prides themselves on super articulation.
Well, that particular one is pre-posed.
Okay.
Okay. Now what this means, because I asked that question too, right? You know, I'm big into that kind of stuff.
Right.
Some of the figures are gonna include action features.
Oh boy!
So if you squeeze their legs together, you get an Indy whip action.
Get the whip action. We knew that was coming. I don't even know why you're even surprised.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what it is that's mainly a kid oriented figure.
All right.
Okay, so kids will really want to see that and play with that. You know, obviously the adults too. But what Hasbro does, they do it with Star Wars now. You know. Quite often is that they do a dual audience, so it's you know, part for kids, part for adult collectors as well, you know, and thinking that of course that the kids will eventually become adult collectors.
Right. Okay. Well, that I mean,
that makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense. We've heard it from Daryl and you from time to time. So I guess I've never really looked at it, you know, that you take a certain wave and you got a couple figures that are kid oriented, and then you got a few that are more collector oriented. But yeah, I guess that's one way to do it. I mean, the detail on these figures to me is fantastic, particularly on I think that Sala there pictured up, and you know, in the robes and. You know, hiding the articulation into the robes and into the clothing. It really looks like they're bringing the same, you know, the same care. Is it the same team as the Star Wars team, or do they have a whole new team at Hasbro doing this?
It's the same team that's working on Star Wars. They're also working on Indy.
Oh, so, great.
Yeah, that's kind of fun because, you know, I get to know some of the Star Wars guys. And it turns out we're all pretty much closeted Indy fans, although I guess not really closeted anymore.
Right. Right. Well, that's very cool. Now, I'm sure that the they don't know it yet. I mean, much like in 95, I don't think they knew at the time that the new Star Wars line was going to take off like it did. But I mean, is it safe to assume that they're looking at a long term plan for Indy in the 3 3/4 scale?
Oh yeah. Well, 3 3/4 inches is the backbone of any really decent Hasbro line, isn't it?
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Star Wars G.I. Joe, that's pretty much the scale that they go for. However, Hasbro's also bringing out a 12-inch line.
Oh,
and from what I'm told, that was approved at Comic-Con. So that's why if you look back in the galleries, we didn't originally have the 12-inch Indy in there.
That's right.
He was added the next day. Yeah.
Well, but Dan, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, doesn't Sideshow have a 12-inch Indy coming out too? Or is it the quarter scale?
In fact, Sideshow does have a 12-inch Indy coming out.
So this is interesting. Are they sharing this license?
Well, what it'll be is similar to what I was saying with the action figures. The 12-inch line from Hasbro will be more of a toy-oriented line with again, action features and you know, more of a toy look and feel to it. Whereas Sideshow, if you've seen any of their stuff, and I know you have, they're more adult collectors, museum-quality pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there's going to be both.
Okay.
So it does belong in a museum.
Yeah, well, that's fitting, isn't it?
All right. Well, I'm really excited about this line. I'll forgive the 12-inch. You know, I keep thinking to myself, oh, didn't they learn? But yeah, it's going to be more kid oriented. I can get my, as long as I can get my Sideshow Indy, you know, heck, they can release whatever they want. Doesn't matter to me.
Right.
But they can definitely count
that's
me in as
the thing you have to remember, you know, is that a lot of this stuff is toys meant for kids.
It is?
Even though the adults are the ones who buy it.
Yeah.
You want your 12-inch Mola ROM.
Oh, absolutely.
with beating heart accessories.
Now, Dan, I'm gonna quiz you here, and I shouldn't put you on the spot. I should have let you know before, but what was that? Okay, you had most recently, as far as indie figures go, I know that there were some Disney exclusive figures, right? And they were more. I think they were like PVC figures. They weren't articulated that I can recall.
Well, let me just go over to my closet here and I'll put that out. What we've got here are about six different figures. They are limited articulation, but they're more along a 5-inch scale.
Okay.
And they're just your standard head, shoulders, waist, and hips articulation.
Okay.
Do have the entire set steel carded. They will be photographed and photo archived within the coming weeks in anticipation.
Oh, great. Great.
I purposely dug them out of storage when I got back.
Well, the quiz that I was going to have for you is, do you remember the Temple of Doom figures? And I was going to see if you remembered what company it was that put those out.
Temple of Doom figures?
They're like Biz Toys?
There was a line of Temple of Doom figures that, and you're talking about the action features. The indie, I remember, he had a bandaged hand, and he had this little trigger on the back, and it did the whip action. And they were probably a little closer to, they were about 5-inch. Yeah, I would say a 5-inch scale. And they released, do you remember those, Jay?
LJN.
Okay, LJN.
Is that from the Disney?
No, those were vintage from when Temple of Doom was coming out.
Yeah, there were 6-inch figures. There was an Indie, a Molaram,
Giant Buggy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
According to my quick cheating Google search, LJN is the company you're thinking of.
And there was a prototype short round that was on the back of the package, crudely drawn, crudely illustrated, but never came out. And I think there was also a Willy that was supposed to come out.
Yeah, there's a Willy there, too.
Okay.
Well, you can find this information at theraider.net.
Well, Dan, did you see any of the stuff for the indie Lego game?
We saw the trailer for the indie Lego game.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. Does it look cool?
You know what was the best part about that is that, of course, everything is brick in Lego World, right?
Right.
So you have Indiana Jones running down the hallway in the temple, and you got this big giant boulder made out of square bricks rolling.
I need to go on there and see it.
And if you go to LucasArts.com and check out their site, they've redesigned it. And what happens now when it loads up, a flash movie comes on, and they have a character for each of the games that are currently out and coming out across the bottom of the screen that you can click on and get more information. So, like for Star Wars Lego, there's a little Chewbacca. And there's that new next-gen Indiana Jones game that was talked about 4 months ago that's due out next year. And when you click on that, it's a 3D flash movie of a really high-res Indiana Jones cracking his bullwhip, and then he goes and stands, and then he stops moving, and so you can read the information. Well, now that they've got the Indiana Jones Lego game up there, there's a little brick indie, and when you click on him, he cracks his whip, but it, like, hits him in the shin, and he hops around on one foot for a second.
it's pretty
cool to see those two side by side.
It's really cool. I'm wondering if there's probably going to be some Easter eggs to be had in that indie Lego game where you can unlock some Star Wars characters, perhaps.
That'd be cool. Or Club Obi-Wan or something like that.
Right. Or at least some cameos, I would think, just in the environment.
Maybe there'd be a little R2-D2 on the wall or something.
Yeah.
Well, R2 just got a cameo in Legacy. I guess I'm probably spoiling it for some people out there, but those of you that are reading Legacy comic book, he's going to have more than a cameo, it appears. It's pretty cool to see that. We're jumping ahead.
Wait, isn't this Indie Update?
Yeah, this is the Indie Update. Well, we're going to run into some headlines here. Jay and Dan, please stay with us because we've got lots more Comic-Con info we need. So stay right there.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Strap in, grab on, and get your geek on, because this is Comic-Con 2007.
Star Wars toys!
Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back Collection.
Now you're playing with the power.
Star Wars Power of the Force.
You stay classy, San Diego.
Comic-Con!
I tell you, Jimmy just does not disappoint with those. Our top headline is Comic-Con, and we want to kick things off with Jay. Jay, the book news from Comic-Con, the official blog over at StarWars.com has a report. You can check it out. Plus, I'm sure by now that it's all over TFN and Rebel Scum about the news. And I mean, for me, when I read this, it was news. Now, I know for, you know, those of you, Pete and I were saying, you know, that are on the boards, the message boards and the forums at, you know, at, on Rebel Scum and over at Del Rey. This is old news to you guys. But a lot of these titles were new to me.
There's a lot of new information that just hasn't been, you know, it's for those people that are searching stuff. Oh, you know, I found this on Amazon or we talked about it on the forums. But in terms of just being out there publicly available and, you know, hyped a little bit more, there's a lot more information. Paul over at TFN went through the official blog and posted a lot of information. There was supposed to be, some new, I guess the way he's writing about it, they had hyped that, you know, Del Rey was going to reveal some new information, and he basically dissects the list saying, okay, let's see what's quote unquote new here. As you say, for you, most of the stuff's new, but for people who have been paying attention, it doesn't seem like it. So we're wondering if there was something that got missed.
Yeah. Right.
But they talk about the, there's some, an Indiana Jones tie-in that's similar to the making of Star Wars that J.W. Rinsler's working on. Jim Luceno is going to do the junior novelization, and DK will have an ultimate guide. And then the person that's writing the Dark Horse comic adaptation, probably four issues, I'm going to assume, is John Jackson Miller, who's currently the writer of Knights of the Old Republic. He's got quality writing, so I'm very excited to see how that's going to come out. And then in terms of just their book releases, we've got the Star Wars Vault, which is Steve Sansweet's new book. It's
and that was previewed at Celebration 4. So, I mean, that is one that I knew about that one.
Yeah, and I think I've talked about it here before. It's very similar to the it's not Sansweet's concept collectible. There's another one. It's got little pop-up pages, all sorts of stuff like that. And that's due out in, let's see, that's in November, end of October, early November. Middle of November, there's a MAD about Star Wars. And
now this sounds very cool. Yeah.
Yeah, the humor publication. So they're going to collect hopefully it's all of them. We don't know exactly what the contents are yet, but it's going to be a collection of all of these Star Wars parodies, hopefully the 6 movies plus any other little things they've done in the MAD magazine publication over the years, in the last 30 years, I guess. There's also a new edition of the Star Wars Encyclopedia being worked on by Sansweet and Pablo Hidalgo, which is coming out next autumn. That's all to you people that don't follow autumn.
Well, Jay, refresh my memory. How long has it been since the Encyclopedia, the first edition, came out? That's back in the late 90s, right?
94.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like 94.
It's older than I thought.
Yeah, there were the smaller paperback ones. Look on my shelf right now to see if I see them. That were the Guide to Star Wars Universe, which were kind of pre encyclopedia sort of books.
I got to say, we've heard already about Curdo's Closet and Shepherd's Shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
Mecca for any Star Wars fan, let me tell you.
Yeah, it takes a while to browse through everything there. But yeah, I want to say it's around 1994 or so. So, you know, it's been a few things since then.
What
yeah,
you say?
A few things. And I don't know how they're going to update this. I mean, it's huge as it stands now. And, you know, it's twice as much information since they published the last one.
Maybe they'll make it into like one of those Time Life volumes where you get a new one each month.
I think they should do that. See, when I was...
They've done their... In a lot of countries besides the U.S., including the U.K., Germany, Japan, France, and a couple others, they've got their fact file, which is basically what that is. It's like 32 loose leaf pages that you can that each one has information about a character, and then they can do an update, and you just insert them into these binders, and voila. DC did something similar with their Who's Who in the DC universe.
Are these authorized, Jay, or are these...
Yeah, they're authorized, but they're produced by D'Agostino, and they're authorized every place except for here in the U.S. So if you, the closest one we can get is either the Australian one or the U.K. one. I don't think they're being published currently, but I mean, they did 114 of these, and they were weekly publications. You subscribe to them, and they come as kind of like a magazine kind of like Newsweek would, right? Every week you get a new edition.
Cool.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with a new encyclopedia. But like you say, there's just a lot of information.
Legacy of the Force continues, right? Yeah, Legacy of the Force. I was going to just say Legacy of the Force continues with Inferno and Fury, which we knew about.
Yeah, let's see. What are the dates here? Well, I think Inferno is due out end of this month. That's due out around the 28th of August. And then I'm a little flipping through my list here. Fury is due in towards the end of November. So we've got two more there. We've got the Karen Travis's third Republic Commando book due in November, which is called True Colors. Mm-hmm. What else do we have coming up here?
Death Star.
Death Star, right.
Yeah,
Death
I'm Star really looking. Is, that's the one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, that's the next hardcover. That's coming out in the middle of October. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Steve Perry and Michael Reeves, Steve Perry, who wrote Shadows of the Empire, and then the duo also did the MedStar duology books during the Clone Wars time. They also talked about the novelization for The Force Unleashed, which is now, of course, pushed back till March. And I don't think we have an exact date on that. And then we're also, there's been a trilogy of paperbacks that have been on Del Rey's publishing schedule, I want to say, for the last 2 or 3 years, and they keep getting bumped back. Michael Reeves, again, with a trilogy called Coruscant Nights. And it's the first one's called Jedi Twilight, and it's due out summer of 08 now. And that's about all we know of that. It's a trilogy of paperbacks. There's the Star Wars Atlas, which is going to be the first time that a mass media publication tries to actually put out maps of the galaxy. And who knows how they're going to do this, whether it's going to, you know, focus on different planets the same way kind of the Essential Guide to Planets and Moons did, but also with the new map and all the different locations. But Jason Fry and Dan Wallace are doing that, and that's due out next June. Jason Fry and Dan Wallace most recently people would know them from their columns in Star Wars Insider. Dan Wallace has written a number of other books and some comic series as well, but Jason follows the comics in The Insider, and Dan Wallace covers the books. And then the last thing that was announced was of course, Drew Karpyshyn's new Darth Bane novel, which I know you guys talked about last week, currently right. called Rule of Two. And I think Drew mentioned either on his blog or in an email to us that's the title he's using for now until he thinks of something better.
He's going to be awfully embarrassed if that's the if that ends up being the title, right? Then that means that he just never thought of anything better.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a bad title at all.
It's not a bad title. I mean, I don't think it's a bad title, and I think it gives people who have a casual understanding of the Sith and Star Wars and stuff, it grabs onto them. There have been some people that have posted on the forums and stuff like that, you know, and they want something better. They want something more along the lines of, say, Luke Skywalker and the Shadows of Mindor. titles, which, now...
I think I had that as a read-along adventure.
Yeah, I don't have. I'm not crazy about that title. I understand what they're going for, and as long as they don't do all the titles in that fashion. But what Sue Rostoni, who is the Lucasfilm liaison with Del Rey and in charge of keeping the publishing going, she mentioned, I believe it was on her blog at StarWars.com, the reason they're doing a title along that line is to keep a major character, or to put the major character's name in the title, because The Shadows of Mindor, well, if that shows up on a on a Del Rey publishing list, if people don't know that it's Star Wars, or, you know, who does it involve? Is it Clone Wars? Is it, you know, Sith era? You know, nobody can get much from it. But when they put Luke Skywalker in there, you've got kind of a built-in audience. People go, oh, Luke Skywalker, I'm getting a Star Wars book. I like Luke Skywalker. I want to buy that. They had a similar issue when they were putting out a book called Dark Rendezvous, which was a paperback that they did during the Clone Wars. They decided to add Yoda's name to it, so the title is now Yoda, Dark Rendezvous. And that seemed to help with, like, pre-orders and just helping the staff of bookstores to be able to get the book put in the right spot, you know, and things like that. And anyway, so the Luke Skywalker in the Shadows of Mindor is a hardcover, which is due next February. That's they try to put out, I believe it's two or three hardcovers a year. We've got the next most recent hardcover is Death Star coming out next quarter, and then Shadows of Mindor was coming out first quarter of 08. And I mean, that's pretty much, that takes us out for the next, you know, 6 months here. We've also in spaced in between there, we've also got some DK young kids books, including I Want to Be a Jedi and Beware the Dark Side. These are those kind of learning to read books.
Oh, well, I want to be a Jedi. Does it actually teach you how?
Well, then you should read this. It will teach you how to read.
I remember. it was always really exciting when I was in elementary school, when the library would have, or no, you'd get those little Scholastic things where you could order the books. And it would take something it would take like 4 months to actually get the books in. But they would finally come in, and I had this Star Wars book, and there was a thing in there about being a Jedi and seeing Obi-Wan, and it was one of those black and white drawings, and you stared at his nose, you know, and didn't blink for like 10 minutes. And then you would blink, and you'd be like, I see him. I see him. Which probably wasn't good or, you know, healthy to do at all.
I had to wear corrective lenses for 2.5 years after that.
But anyway, so that's what it made me think of. Well, here's what Dan, we want to get to you, and but for Jay,
Chewie, take the professor in the back and plug him into the hyperdrive.
All right, I just had to throw that in for Jimmy, since he, you know, he goes to all the trouble to get these drops for us. And anyway, so Jay, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Dan, switching gears, and Jay, by all means, jump in and help us out, especially with some of these EU characters. Dan, I mean, you've sat through now the panel at Celebration 4, Celebration Europe, and now Comic-Con. I'm thinking, was there anything new? I mean, did they have anything new to say as far as Hasbro finishing up? Really, I mean, it's kind of finishing up the year for them.
Right. This mostly at Comic-Con is left for stuff that's coming out towards the end of the year and the fall exclusive. So that kind of stuff they typically don't announce until Comic-Con. So, yeah, there were a number of things that were new. A lot of stuff that if you read our rumor list and you read Rebel Scum regularly, you might have already heard about, but there were quite a few things, especially coming up in 2008, we didn't know about.
Yeah, well, break it down for us a little bit.
The first thing, let's start with the tech line, the basic figures. They showed off the final eight, which the poster that was revealed at Celebration Europe had those on there, but we actually got to see them in person for the first time here at Comic-Con, and that includes Jango Fett with removable armor, removable poncho. He looks pretty sweet. Vulfith Mon, the Wolfman Jedi from the Clone Wars. And the funny thing about him is he was one of three characters that was part of a Chef Boyardee contest during the Clone Wars line. He was the winner, so that character was added into the last episode. And he's the final version, the figure to come out. So,
right.
He's the winner, but
it's kind of ironic, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Clone Trooper in training gear, so he's the red jumpsuit, and he's got snap-on armor, which looks to me to be the same armor from the Deluxe Clone Trooper with the speeder bike that came out a few years ago. Same concept, it snaps onto the body. Doesn't look all that great, to be honest with you, but really you want the red jumpsuit guy anyway, so
right.
The armor is just extra bonus.
Padme Amidala in her black fireside dress. Very nice looking. The shawl is
Does that hold up when you see it in person? Because I was a little underwhelmed by some of the photos that I've seen. I was hoping that in person it looks better.
Well, it does. I mean, it's not an exciting figure because she just kind of stands there.
That's okay.
That's kind of all she, film, right? You know.
Yeah, that's all she needs to do.
A little bit off, to be honest with you.
It's a little off?
It's a little off. I mean, the body looks great. The dress looks great. The sculpting is really nice. From what I'm told, the face will undergo a little bit of tweaking because she looks a little older than she's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've joked about this, but I was very serious. When I first saw the figure, I thought, oh, great, they're doing Padme's mom.
Right, right.
Yeah,
they're aware of that. It's, right now, we're seeing the hard copy. This won't be out until January 1st, so there's time to go back.
That's another interesting thing. The 30th anniversary collection theme is going to carry through 2008. How far into 2008?
Well, that's interesting. The intention is to get them all out within the year. With all the delays we've seen, and the delays are the result of all the coins. That's why everything is shipping.
Really? Okay.
So after number 60, which will be the Ralph McQuarrie Rebel Trooper, he also has removable armor and helmet, too.
Very cool-looking figure.
He looks great. He's got that kind of clamshell helmet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, that will be the last figure with the coin.
Okay.
And then what they're going to do is they're going to switch over to another accessory, or packing, excuse me, rather than the coin. They're going to bring back the battle stance.
Okay.
The ones from last year, if you recall.
Yep, I do.
They're going to bring those back. And my suggestion to them was to include 2 foot pegs on the battle stance because, you know, sometimes you need to. You have a two-pack, well, only one battle droid gets to stand.
That's a great point.
On Ewok, right, right.
That's a good suggestion.
Not only that, but some figures require to, you know, if you want to get a really good pose. So they're going to include that, and that'll go through spring of 08 when the Clone Wars will begin.
But now, Dan,
we didn't see anything about Clone Wars.
Is it safe to assume that we've probably seen the last of coins for a while?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the coins were
a shame because I like the coins very much. I like the coins.
They just had a lot of trouble in the production side of it, so you know it's been a tough year for them on that line. But,
you know, I mean, this is not to change the subject too much, but yeah. Someday, you know, I'd like if I ever got a little bit of time alone with Mr. DePriest, I would love to hear the whole saga of the Comtech chip and the Comtech chip reader. Because I was just thinking about some of these different pack-ins and stuff, and I'll just bet the poor guy's got nightmarish stories about that, and now it sounds like the coins. So, but I appreciate the fact that they're always trying to find something new to pack in with the figures. You know, I thought, actually, the gimmick that they used in Europe with the battle droids, the pack in, and then later with the pit droids, I thought that was a great concept. I don't know why they don't do that more often.
Those pack in pit droids. Oh. Now, okay, the Saga Legends line, which is what we did the big tournament last year, right?
Right.
Last fall, we had everybody around the world log in and vote for your favorite characters and the bonus pit droids that were available overseas in place of the Comtech chips were among the top ranking vote getters. Now, in theory, you think that, okay, we'll take the pit droids and we'll just re-release them. And since there were 3 color schemes, we'll do 3 color schemes. Well, this has been a logistical nightmare because the tooling for those particular figures, we can't find.
Dan, you still with us?
Is that me?
Oh, that was you. Okay, you're back.
Okay, yep.
All right. Jay, are you back with us?
Of course, I know. I didn't go anywhere.
I think Jay's still.
I'm sure
okay,
you're good.
Okay, good. Okay. That was just a little temporary hiccup, I guess, in the system here. All right, I'm sorry. So, Dan.
You can edit that out, right?
Yeah, I can. Don't count on it.
All right.
We don't do a lot of editing.
What it is what it is.
It's a live show, my friend.
Okay, so So anyway, the bonus pit droids, they will be coming out. I think we might have talked about this once before.
Yeah.
They're going to do with one of the sculpts as a two-pack, all three colors. Then if they can find it in time, they're going to do the second sculpt with the other accessory, all three colors. If they can't find it in time, they're actually going to recreate the tool for it, because the fans want the original one. And, you know, there's been some discussion over, well, why not just make a new tool for a new pit droid? But Hasbro's thinking is that, well, fans voted this particular one. That's the one that they want. It's only fair that that's the one that we give it to.
That sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah.
That sounds reasonable. But I wouldn't be opposed to them actually doing a new sculpt or... Actually,
well, now that's a funny story, because part of that discussion, I said, well, if you're going to do a new pit droid, right? And let's just theoretically say we get all the pit droids Saga Legends out of the way, and you know, if we were to do another pit droid, you know, perhaps in a battle pack or something like that, you could do multiple pit droids, and you know, who would be a really good character to go along with the pit droids? If you did, like, say, a pit droid audience or a ground crew or something like that.
Oh, I was going to say Jar Jar.
No. Now, if Jimmy Mack were here...
Kitster, baby! Kitster!
Oh, he would know.
That would be so wizard.
Do not even... You know, Jimmy's going to be jumping through the speaker when he hears this. Are you...
Well, Jimmy, this is for you, baby. Kitster and Walt... two-pack.
Dan, are you being serious?
I'm totally serious. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. It's been discussed. And not only has it been discussed, it's been considered for the past several years. And it keeps getting yanked.
All right, so someone's hot to do this.
So here, I'm going to put Hasbro on the spot here, and they're probably going to hate me for this, but at some point between now and 2018, we will see a Kitster and Wall two-pack. And that's for you, Jimmy.
Oh my God. He's going to probably, you know, put it on a necklace so he could, you know, wear it. I can just see it. Oh my gosh. Well, Dan, before I interrupted you with something, I don't remember what it was. It's always exciting to have you on the show because, I get a little confused and lost sometimes.
Porky Pig, huh?
Abadi, abadi, abadi. And but you were saying that the 30th anniversary card is going to continue through spring of 2008. However, we're going to see a different pack in. We're going to see the battle stands. So they're going to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Star Wars into 2008. Is that kind of a conscious choice in terms of, well, we need something to kind of stall until, as you said, Clone Wars in the spring?
Well, it will be a similar look. I don't know for certain if it'll actually say the 30th anniversary on it. Or if it'll be something like that transitional wave that came out after the original trilogy collection ended.
Oh, right.
Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
But it had that post-OTC.
Yeah, period. Right.
Whatever. I mean, the idea is it's going to have the same kind of look to it. The stand will be packed in, and we'll see some... We might even see some repack characters in that line as well, but they won't be like Saga Legends type repacks. They'll be, some of the TAC line again.
You know, I just happened
back.
Well, I just happened to think that if they could get a Ben Quadraneros into that battle pack, we would have we could call it like the Force Cast battle pack between Jimmy and Kyle Newman.
Hey, now that's an idea. I'll be sure to mention it.
Yeah,
there you will.
Please do.
So, speaking of Saga Legends, here's a big deal coming up. It's going to be a real tight frame. So by the time the show airs that afternoon, it'll launch, hopefully.
All right.
There's going to be a Wave 5. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And the Wave 5 will be, instead of hosted here on Rebel Scum, it'll be net-wide.
So every collecting site that's part of the Hasbro Star Wars Q&A will be able to pull their readers and determine the number, you know, let's say 20 figures that they want to see brought back, okay?
Okay.
And I have a week to do that, and we'll announce that when the time comes. We're not quite there yet. And then those results will be sent to Hasbro, and they will have a tournament and a poll, not a tournament, I'm sorry, they'll have a poll on their site that will determine, say, 5 figures that will be made up into the final wave.
Aha. Uh-huh. Wow.
So it's the same concept and you know that we had last time, only everybody's going to kind of get their say in it, because there was some concern last time around, you know, that we were the ones that did it and nobody else was allowed to play. Well, now everybody gets to play, you know, and enjoy it.
Yeah,
and enjoy the nightmare and the headaches that go along with it.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah. So don't be hating, and right. Enjoy the fact that you can suffer through this like poor Dan Curto with his very exciting but highly technical basketball style Final Four bracket tournament. Or where I come from,
we won't do that again. We'll do something different. I've got some ideas.
Very cool. What about vehicles? What's going on with the vehicles?
Okay. Well, vehicles, we finally got to see General Grievous' Starfighter, which looks really, really cool. And is big enough to fit General Grievous in it, although, of course, we never actually saw him fit in it in the film, but whatever. Now, we saw that at Celebration 4 and also the AT-AP, that three-legged podwalker.
Right.
That was also shown for the first time. At Comic-Con, the TIE Bomber is coming back.
One of Pete's favorites.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's going to come back in the lighter paint scheme. You know how they're kind of doing like a blue color and then a lighter whitish-gray color scheme lately with TIE Fighters? They're doing the TIE Bomber in the lighter color. It'll be a Target exclusive, and it'll come with a pilot. So
cool.
There's another repack there for you. One thing that is kind of cool as far as repack vehicles go, the Jedi Starfighter from Toys R Us, they uh-huh. will be coming back, the exclusive one. So Anakin's green Starfighter and Obi-Wan's blue Starfighter. And they were originally Toys R Us exclusives, came with a pilot figure. These will not come with the pilot figure, but they'll be released to everyone. So they'll be mass market releases, so everybody will get a chance at those again.
All right. So more Jedi
Starfighters. The other new-ish vehicle news was the AT-RT Assault Squad 2-pack. Comes with 2 AT-RTs, 2 AT-RT drivers, and a Commander Bacara. And they're all painted up in this green and brown camo deco that's supposed to be, like, they're on Kashyyyk or Felucia. I don't know where they are.
Okay.
Probably Kashyyyk. You know, it's a repaint. The vehicle's kind of cool. For the price, it's not too bad. It's like $25, I think. Exclusive to Target, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Exclusive to Target. You know, that'll be out in the fall as well. And as far as other new stuff, well, the big news, of course, was the Entertainment Earth. I forget the real name for this thing. It's the Elite Squad or Mandalorian Commando Set. It's a bunch of Mandalorians and a bunch of clones, all painted different colors. Quite clean. But, Dread Priest is Daryl.
All right, that's what, that's what we were thinking.
Yeah, and some of the other the heads, if you notice some of them and you say, boy, they look like some of the other Hasbro design teams, well, you wouldn't be wrong on that.
I'm waiting for the Can Durdo figure. Are we going to get a Can Durdo?
Yeah, no, we're going to do an O-Truck Nad figure.
there you go.
I don't know if that will pass the censors.
Oh, only if you
have,
yeah.
As long as there's one, right?
Right.
It's not going to be a 2-pack.
Oh.
And hopefully they won't be blue.
That's correct.
Oh, boy.
That's just awful.
Oh.
Oh.
No, we're good. Okay. Yeah, we're good. We just got a little interference there.
Those were officially shown and completely announced. Now, they've been revealing select figures in this particular set for the past couple of months now, you know, a little bit at a time just to sort of tease us with it. And, you know, for the price, it's actually a great deal, you know, considering what figures go for nowadays. So, I mean, if you haven't ordered that yet.
Well, I was excited. I mean, some of the battle packs have me a little excited. The Hunt for Grievous, which I never got because I was part of those sad saps that got their cancels ordered, their orders canceled. I think that was ToysRUs.com when they were making the big switch over between ToysRUs.com and Amazon
when they jumped off Amazon.
Yeah, so I never got that.
Saw that set on shelves.
I never did either.
Yeah.
You did get one, though, didn't you?
I did get one.
I ordered one.
Yeah, I got it. I had to get it through one of my friends.
I got it the day that they put it up on the website. I jumped all over it.
When ToysRUs.com.
Yes, when ToysRUs.com switched over officially.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things they popped up. So.
Speaking of battle packs, there were four shown at Celebration 4 that. Two of them are not coming out now. The Capture at the Droid Factory and Betrayal on Bespin, they are coming out in the fall. But the Hoth, the Tauntaun, we saw that on the screen.
Right, yeah.
The Tauntaun and the Wampa. And also the Stap Attack with the two Staps with the pilot battle droids and the super battle droid. Those two will be delayed until 2008, and they'll be exclusives. We don't know where yet, but they've been pushed back, which is kind of unfortunate because the Staps actually look pretty cool. I was looking forward to that one.
Dan, correct me if I'm wrong here. The Anakin in the Capture of the Droid Factory is the Evolutions Anakin, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay, good. All right, I wanted to pick up.
Yeah, those two battle packs, they're completely 100% repacks. Yeah. So those are, again,
but I think that's...
you have a kid audience.
That's the only time that we've seen that Anakin since the release in the Evolutions, right? Or did it make one of the tin sets?
Evolutions, and it was also in the tins.
Okay, that's right. I do remember that now. I recall that. Speaking of Evolutions, we're going to see the return of Evolutions, right?
Yes, the Evolutions. The original three will be back in small numbers because they want to try to reintroduce the audience to those. So the Sith, the Anakin to Darth Vader, and the troopers will be back, which is kind of interesting because the clone trooper from Episode 3 and the sand trooper are going to be part of the Legends line as well. So, you know, if you haven't gotten a chance to pick these guys up, what the hell are you waiting for? So they're definitely giving you many, many chances to get what you want. But they announced three new ones, which are really, really exciting. One of them is Evolution of the Jedi. And that will include Episode 1 Super Articulated Qui-Gon Jinn, who, if you recall our Q&As and our rumor list, this was something that was planned for 2007, but they're putting it now in an Evolution set. So definitely, you know, we're going to get the figure, which is really, it looks great. It does.
Now, Dan, I'm sorry, what's the rundown of those three in the Jedi Evolution?
That set is going to be Qui-Gon Jinn from Episode 1, Boltar Swan from Episode 2, and Luke Skywalker from the New Jedi Order.
Uh-huh.
Is that a new figure, Dan?
It looks to be a new figure, but I'm thinking it might be partly kitbashed from other Jedi pieces. It's kind of hard to tell in the photo. The head looks familiar to me. I know the Boltar Swan. What's that?
Is it the Dark Empire head for Luke?
No, it looks like one of the basic figures that they have.
Okay.
I can't think of which one, but it looks from it might be a new one. I mean,
Jedi Jeff.
What's that?
Jedi Jeff or Jedi Tim? Yeah. One of the basic figures.
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and it's hard to see based on this what it is. Is this gonna this Qui-Gon? Is this super articulated Qui-Gon, or is this straight up? It is okay. So it's the one that we have been waiting for then.
Yeah, and the Boltar Swan. There is a Boltar Swan coming in the comic packs, but she has a different outfit. So when she was announced, a lot of people wrote in and said, well, hey, are we ever going to see her in her Jedi armor or Jedi uniform? And, well, here she is.
Very cool.
So
I know that that Howard Stern fans are going to be excited about the evolution of the Sith with the Darth Nihilus figure.
I don't know. Do you?
I know that the Howard Stern show has been looking high and low for the guy that was Darth Nihilus at Celebration 4. But
is that right?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's sort of an inside thing if you ever listen to the Howard Stern show. But go ahead.
That's going to be there's three in that one. There's Darth Bane, Darth Nihilus, and a new super articulated shirtless Darth Maul.
All right.
Looks really cool, except you know Darth Maul is like the character that should have every point of articulation possible, right?
You're sure.
And probably shouldn't have a stiff plastic loincloth. I'm not sure why they do that.
Now my wife and Pete's fiance are going to be very excited about the shirtless Darth Maul. They were quite taken with Ray Park at Celebration.
I will say that happened until this past week when I was watching the Comic-Con coverage on G4 Network, and you heard him talk. That kind of ruined some of the mystique for it, and I said,
She was really interested in just how well-versed he was.
I think that would get thrown by the wayside if worse came to worse, as they say.
He's a lot tougher than you or I.
Yeah, I'm not going to let him kick me in the butt.
But anyway, all right, so that's cool, the evolution of the Sith. I mean, between the comic 2-packs and the evolution packs, my goodness, I mean, they're not leaving any stone unturned. I mean, it just seems like, Dan, in general, the Hasbro team is just they're having a ball with this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's the 30th anniversary. They want to try and cover, as much as they can for all fans. And I got to tell you, I think they're doing it. They're really hitting the ball out of the park, which is why this year Comic-Con, if you've read Rebel Scum for a few years, we give out a Licensee of the Year award. And this year, our Licensee of the Year went to Hasbro.
Awesome. That's great.
So
very deserving this year.
With a special plaque. And what that is somebody, a company that puts out a quality product in that particular year, and somebody that also recognizes the need to work within the community, the fan community, and that Rebel Scum is definitely a big part of that fan community. And I'd say they have definitely done that this year.
Well, that's awesome. And they are deserving. And I know we were happy to have Daryl DePriest on Christmas time. Maybe he'll come on again. I think we talked to him a little bit at Celebration 4, and he seemed interested in coming on again. He may be our regular Christmas guest. He's Santa Claus around here. So
he wants to do it. I can tell you that he definitely wants to come on. He loves hanging out with you guys. There has been some discussion about next year's Comic-Con, about getting all the fan sites together for a special kind of Hasbro-sponsored get-together meeting.
That'd be a lot of fun.
You ought to make plans to attend if you can.
Well, there's no Celebration next year, so I think if anything gets me on a plane to cross country, it's going to probably be Comic Con, especially with Indy coming out. I mean, it's going to be really fun.
It'll be huge.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Hey guys, stick with us because we've got just a few pieces of listener feedback, some mail, and a couple of voicemails, and we'll wrap up the show in just a minute.
Hello there.
You're listening to the Weekly Forcecast.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The galaxy is listening. This is the Forcecast. Contact Jason and Pete now. Leave a message or MP3 with your Star Wars tales, comments, and questions.
Hearing my Star Wars tale on the podcast last Friday really made my day. And considering that I just recently found out about getting recommended for Navy Officer Cannon School, OCS, for surface warfare, but being on this Forcecast happened to be more exciting for me than my future career. I guess being such a Star Wars fan and hearing my voice on the Forcecast really made me feel like part of something larger.
The Forcecast, better than a job promotion.
Email the ForceCast crew, podcast@theforce.net. Leave a voicemail, 330-871-4TFN. Using Skype, look us up. ForceCast, all one word. It's the weekly ForceCast.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Doctor. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right, now, I don't know if you guys were listening to last week's show, but we had an email about what was the ForceCast's official opinion on the fact that Leia claims to have memories of her mother. And I pretty much chalked it up to just poor storytelling.
Our official, unofficial, official stance, which probably has already changed at least three or four times this past
either
week.
That or she's just a liar. Maybe one of the two.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Oh, you know what? Excuse me. I had poor Jay and Dan on mute. Gosh, now they can talk.
Yay. I don't have anything to say anyway.
We got an email from Jeremy from Japan, which, you know, that never gets old, getting emails from people like in Japan and all over the world. But he says, guys, what about this? Leia's recollection of the memories of her mother may have been Bail Organa's wife. Maybe she dies when Leia is a baby.
We'd never even considered that.
Well, I don't know, Jay. Is there any EU lore that would rule this theory out?
No, there's really been nothing about Mrs. Organa, as you guys mentioned last week. her name's Brea, I believe.
Right, right.
And
who cares?
They haven't done anything with her since Revenge of the Sith. I mean, just since a little bit at the end of that.
All right, so this is still a possibility. Maybe she does die when Leia is a baby. But see, I don't...
See this in the Force Unleashed video game.
But if this would be true, and you will go back and you watch Jedi, and I think it's a great scene between Luke and Leia. You know, do you remember your mother, your real mother? And if she's just telling tales about her adopted mother, that just completely cheapens everything that...
Well, but she doesn't know it's not her real mother. Maybe they kept it a whole secret from her.
You were the ultimate apologist, you know?
Hey, I can backtrack with the rest of them. I am Mr. Retcon.
Well, Dan, you know what? Dan, there's a action figure tie-in here. I know that one of the things we didn't get a chance to talk about, and we had you and Jay on the phone, and we just had there's so much to cover. But the comic two-packs, if you didn't get a chance, speaking of Leia and her mother, if you didn't get a chance to pick up the baby Leia figure with Bail, these are being re-released, right?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they were hard to find because they were Walmart exclusive, so not everybody was able to get them. So what they're doing is they're re-releasing them as a comic book two-pack, and they'll be available exclusively at Walmart.
That's well played.
Well, you know what it was is it was a lot of timing because they came out right towards the end of the Sith of the Revenge of the Sith line, mm-hmm. And it seemed like Walmart just wasn't stocking as many figures, and
they were still overflowing with some of the Revenge of the Sith figures, and it was just a tough transition.
Yeah, but
And plus they shipped in with a wave that was out towards the end of the year, so it wasn't like they had their own dedicated assortment; they were just stuck in with everybody else.
Hmm. Well, we've got an email here from Joel. He says, hey, guys, I was just looking through all of the great photos of the new merchandise to be unveiled at last week's Comic-Con. Thanks, Dan Curto, he says. And notice something that puzzles me, and I haven't heard it being addressed yet. Admittedly, I'm not a huge indie fan, but I do look forward to the new film and plan on buying some of the Hasbro products. But the sculpt and paint details on the new figure line looks as if it's... It is supposed to be a vintage-esque line. One detail in particular is the younger version Harrison Ford with dark hair. Even the 12-inch figure has a very youthful appearance and dark hair. As we've seen now from Web Docs in the Comic-Con video, Harrison is rocking the silver hair. What's up with this? Do you recognize any of the other figures' characters? What's your official, non-official theory on this perplexing on this perplexing conundrum? Please, if you do mention the line in this week's episode, webisode address, and let us know what it means. Let's see. Please, if you do mention the line in this week's episode webisode address.
No, you're...
What's...
Episode, address this, and let us know what it means.
Oh, okay. Boy, It might help if I read these beforehand, wouldn't it?
Those things are punctuation marks. Yeah. That's a comma.
Oh, the comma. Right. Thanks, guys. It's great to have you both back together. Your chemistry is unmatched. Wasn't that nice? That's very, very kind. Nice. So, Joel, I think we did kind of answer some of these, but Dan, you want to take it? Basically, what we've seen so far is younger Indy.
Yeah, this is all the stuff that we've seen so far is based on Raiders of the Lost Ark. So, yeah, this is the younger Indiana Jones. They haven't shown anything from Indiana Jones 4.
Okay.
And I think it'll probably be a little bit of time yet, don't you think, Dan, before we really see anything, as Spielberg has said.
Reveal at Toy Fair.
Oh, okay. There you go.
February.
Okay.
February. Yep.
All right. We got we do have a voicemail here, and I don't know who this is from. Well, let's hear what he has to say. Here we go.
Hey, I just caught your July 20th show. Dan Watt, I was just searching for Star Wars podcasts in iTunes and happened to cross you guys. And I'm actually listening to it right now. I called you as soon as I heard the number. I think it's great that you guys are actually doing this because you seem to be the only worthwhile Star Wars podcast out there. Well, anyways, I was just wondering, more information about the Star Wars convention. I know you mentioned it briefly in the July 20th episode. I want to go. So maybe we can hear more about it. I don't know. All right. Thanks for doing what you do. Bye.
Well, I appreciate those kind words. It's always nice to hear.
Yes. Certainly send us an email or send us another voicemail letting us know who you are so we can say,
yeah,
mention your name on the show and say thank you.
Definitely.
In person.
Now, he was talking about the Star Wars convention. Now, I think he might have been referring to just the July 20th show, probably Celebration Europe.
Yes.
What I can say to you is more than we can ever talk about, go over to rebelscum.com. There's a ton of Celebration Europe posts and news up there, as well as Comic-Con stuff, as well as stuff from Celebration 4. If you're interested in Celebration 4, I highly recommend the Forcecast YouTube channel. Thanks to Keith for getting all those videos up there. It's a great way to kind of experience it without actually having been there. If only we'd have had something like that for Celebration Europe. We should have actually tied a camera to Dan's head. Dan, we should mount a camera to your Rebel Scum hat.
That would be interesting.
Curto cam.
That's perfect. Maybe we can get something like that going. But anyway, well, no, we appreciate
it. Season's over. A little late for that idea.
Well,
work on Toy Fair.
That's right. We're working on next year now.
Oh, yeah, Toy Fair, Dan. That's just around the corner.
Sure, that's a good idea, yeah.
Just in time for Forcecast 3.0.
Go.
And here's the voice. So anyway, to get back to his question, if you'd love to hear more about it, there's no better source than force.net, rebelscum.com. So that's a good place to read up on everything that you missed out. So here's Fernando from Mexico. Let's see what Fernando has.
Hi, guys. My name is Fernando Llano from Monterrey, Mexico. I just wanted to tell you that I really enjoy your program. Also, TFN.com and rebelscum.com. I wanted you to ask if I'm planning to buy the X-Wing from Luke Skywalker in Dagobah. I think the price is a little bit steep. I just want to know what you think about it. Thanks, and keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, this is still, you can still see this on the shelves over at Toys R Us. I noticed that in the... And the ad are not coming down in price.
No,
they're on the shelves. Is that the case where you guys are?
Yeah, it's not going down at all.
Yeah, I've got tons here and no price drop.
Yeah, they're not like Target. You know, if something doesn't move in Target in 10 days, man, the red sticker's on. It's on the end cap.
We're at 30%. Now we're at 50.
They're moving that stuff out of there. It's crazy. But Toys R Us doesn't work the same way. I mean, I'm just dying for the ad to come down in price. Dan, what do you think? What's your best guess on the Dagobah X-Wing? Are we going to see a decrease?
I doubt it.
they've got the shelf space, so they can let it sit out there as long as they need to. So,
what you need to have is a really good friend. My last birthday last summer, that was what Pete actually got for me, was the X-Wing from the Dagobah X-Wing.
I will say it's a really nice piece, and it's one of those ones that looks great in the package as well as out of the package. So you know, it seemed like it was worth it for the price that I paid. So,
yeah, I think it's worth the money.
I like it.
Fell off a truck.
I like the fact that you can, like, you know, take the plastic schmag off of the ship.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. Plastic schmag. Anyway, well, I tell you what, guys, this has been an awesome, awesome time having both of you on the show. Thank you for being our guinea pigs. You guys are welcome. Now you know how to access the show. So you don't have to wait for a formal invitation. You know when we record, and you're more than welcome to pop in anytime. Jay, instead of calling the cell phone, you can just dial the show live, and we'll put you right on.
There you go.
You have one of those last-minute things. And Dan, of course, it's always great to hear from you.
Maybe we can do this live at the show one time.
Well, we might as well just say what we're experimenting with is the idea that we're going to be able to do the Forcecast live every week, and invite people to not only listen live, but cue them up and have them be able to ask questions to me and Pete and whoever our guests are, whether it be Jay or Dustin or Dan or Jimmy or whomever, and really make this kind of a weekly gathering of Star Wars fans together, experiencing it at the same time. I mean, I love podcasting. We're going to continue to shoot the shows to the feed so you can download and listen on demand. You know, until we get a weekly Star Wars series, wouldn't it be kind of fun to have something to look forward to every week to sit around and talk Star Wars? So
I know I look forward to it every week. So.
Right, and in prime time. So, and then, of course, once the series do hit, imagine how much fun it's going to be to sit around and talk with everybody and do wrap-ups of each episode. And it's such a great time to be a Star Wars fan. That's all I'm trying to say. So I want to thank you guys. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank our guest, Jovial Jay Shepherd, always the jovial one. Dan the Man Curto. Although, according to Jimmy Mack, Jay Shepherd is the man.
Is the man.
But Dan the Man Curto. What's that?
Not arguing.
Well, like I said, it was so much fun to have you guys on. You add so much to the conversation. You pick up where Pete and I leave off so frequently. But no, it's great. It's great to have you guys. And again, if you want to be part of the show, more information will be forthcoming about how to participate live. We don't have all the bugs out yet, but we're getting there. I want to remind you to one thing that is live is The Force Among Us Live this Sunday, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talkshoe.com. Make sure you join us. It'll be a lot of fun. If you want to be a part of this show, Pete, tell them how.
Well, you can give us a call at 330-871-4TFN if you want to leave us a voicemail. Or you can just Skype us directly if you have Skype at username ForceCast. Or we always read all of the emails that come in. We listen to all the voicemails too. But we always read all the voicemails, and you can drop those to us at podcast@theforce.net. Whether you want to do just a regular old email or an MP3, please do that for us and be part of the show. Also, check out our forums over at rebelscum.com. Buy some merchandise, do our survey, all that other kind of good stuff. Go over to Dig, make Jedi Schwa happy. Go over to Dig and vote for us a little bit. And thank you again to him for doing that. And thank you to all of you for joining us every week.
Well said. All right. Now, we didn't rehearse this, but we're going to go in the following order. We're going to go Dan Curto, Jay Shepherd, Pete, and me. How's that? Okay?
Yes.
You guys with me?
Okay.
All right. For the Forcecast,
this is Dan Curto.
As Jay Shepherd.
This is Pete.
And this is Jason. And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.